The following presentation was recorded at the 2010 Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute. More information at thedocforlearning.org.
I'd like to just start out with a question. In how many of your schools do you have a Bible class that is graded and tested, where you have homework and the grades appear in your report cards? How many of you have that in your Bible in your schools? Okay. Good. Good. Well, in our session here this morning, we'd like to talk about that a little bit and talk about what we could do to make that possible even in a small school, and look at some ideas. Now, I had a little trouble knowing how to split up my presentation and my workshop. And so what I did here this morning is basically I'm giving my presentation here. And when we go to the workshop then, the workshop is then a time of discussion. And so if you come to my workshop, I probably will not have too much in a presentation, but we will have some time for questions, and we can share ideas and share what's working and so on. So a lot of what I have to share here this morning is what I'm doing at school in Bible classes, and so I have a lot of really practical, hands-on kind of ideas that I'll be bringing in here, where some of us may have put that some of those things kind of into a workshop. Let me give you just a little bit of my own background in education. I was not, 10 years ago, I would have never dreamt of teaching school. As a family, we had homeschooled. We have four children. They're ages 19 through 20, 25, and they have all graduated from high school with a Pennsylvania State diploma from our home school. I was involved in the home school some. My wife did most of the teaching. We had a local Mennonite school that we would have not been comfortable with, and so we opted to homeschool, and we did that for 20 some years. So our children were all the way through high school. We have a 200-acre farm at home and a dairy of about 65 or 70 cows, and my two youngest boys, who are still at home, are basically taking care of the cows. And so 6 years ago, the school board asked me if I would teach 7th and 8th grade Bible twice a week, and so I did. I did that for 2 years. 4 years ago, the board asked me if I would teach Bible to the whole school, and I consented to do that, and I also took on the job of administrator. So my job at school is 2 days a week, and so I cannot quite identify with some of you that are there every day and are really in the trenches like you would be if you were teaching school. So I'm there 2 days a week. I take care of staff meetings, staff devotions in the morning when we get to school, and then I do Bible classes from second grade through eighth grade then throughout the day. We have about 58 students this year. We have eight grades. It has not worked well for the first grade schedule to be in my Bible class, and so first grade is not part of my Bible routine, but we do have that for second grade through eighth grade. 4 years ago, when we started thinking about a Bible class, we needed another classroom, and so our board, they took up some basement gym space, put up some block walls, built a classroom, and so I have my own classroom in the basement, which is in addition to the other homerooms. There is not a homeroom in that class, and so the secretary and I both run some classes in that room. And so I have my own class at school, and as the children have their Bible class, they come downstairs to my class, and we have our Bible class there. Now, we may, and on the outline that Janice gave me, the question came up, why should we have Bible classes in our school when we have church where children listen to the preaching, and we have Sunday school, we have summer Bible school, and hopefully our families have devotions at home and so on. So why should we have Bible class at school, and what is, you know, is it significant? And to answer that question, I'm going to tell you a little what we're doing in some of our Bible classes at school, and you'll see that it's going to be really hard to try to duplicate that kind of thing in a Sunday school or in a family worship service. Now, there's several verses in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that I'd like to read. Deuteronomy chapter 6, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You must love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commandments that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, if we look at this verse and we see that God is commanding the children of Israel through Moses to be sure that these commandments and the precepts and the principles of God's word get passed on to the children. And God was very concerned about that. And in these verses, it tells us to talk about them four times, and it tells us to write them four different places. It says you talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. And you're to write them on your forehead, write them and carry them with you on your hand, on the doorposts of your house, and on your gate. And so we have a fairly comprehensive Bible teaching assignment here, right? That's fairly comprehensive. Well, think about it this way. When Moses gave this instruction to the children of Israel, he was asking them to do that for the Bible that they had at that time, which was basically the five books of Moses, right? Well, today we have a lot more material to cover than that, don't we? We have a lot more material to cover than that, and so I'm suggesting that we need to do at least as much as what he is suggesting here in these verses. And so I believe that the Bible classes at school are really, really important. Now, all of us would agree that the Bible is our most important textbook at school, right? We would agree the Bible is the most important textbook. And I believe that we are doing a disservice to the importance of this textbook by thinking that we can teach our Bible through devotionals and Sunday school and the church preaching. And I know there are schools that say, well, we don't have time for Bible, and so the teachers use devotionals to teach that. And I'm not saying that can't be effective, but let's look at it this way. Would we teach our other subjects through devotionals? Would you be happy as a board member? Would you be happy if your teacher would teach math through devotionals? Well, probably not. Probably not. And so we think the other subjects should be taught in a classroom setting, and there should be homework, there should be grading and testing. And so I believe that is also important for a Bible class. I believe most times our children at school will see a subject as being less important if there is not out-of-class assignments, if there's no grading and no testing, and no grade going into the report card. And so I believe that is really important. And so I come to school with very little teaching experience, and one of the things that I really like about teaching Bible is that I'm not locked into a textbook that has to be covered by the end of the school year. And that doesn't mean that we can just haphazardly teach Bible. It does mean that when our students have questions and when things come up, that I have time to talk about it with them. For instance, after the Nickel Mine school shooting, which happened just several miles from our school, I took at least one Bible class with every grade to talk about it. With 7th and 8th grade, we had some students in our 7th and 8th grade in that year who came from families that obviously were not grounded real well in the doctrine of non-resistance. And so we had some really, really interesting discussions on this Nickel Mine shooting and what could be done, what should be done, and so on, if you're in the middle of a situation like that. And so that was really, really interesting. And I took four Bible classes. I took 2 weeks to talk about that with them. The first few Bible classes, I left them talk, and they talked about all kinds of things. And some of the boys came up with ideas about, you know, if they would have been in that schoolroom, they would have had a 2x4. They would have left that guy have it, you know, and then he wouldn't have been able to shoot the students and so on. And so, you know, we talked about that. And at the end of that, toward the end then of that two-week period, I gave some biblical teaching on non-resistance and how we should respond in situations like that. And so that was quite interesting. The incident of 9/11 raised a lot of questions, and especially the airliner that came down the Somerset area. You know, did the guys on there do what was right by bringing that plane down like that? And so we talked about that a lot in Bible class. And see, there I'm not locked into a certain text that I need to cover in that year. And so I have the time, I have the resources to be able to do that. And it's been kind of stretching for me sometimes when, you know, you have 7th and 8th graders who come up with ideas and they're feeling pretty strong about it, and then pretty soon they talk about it at home, and then they come to school and they talk about what their dad said about that, you know, and I'm not sure if I like all those ideas. And so, yeah, it makes some really interesting class times. Well, let me just go over my schedule for a day this year, my schedule for a day. One of the things that has taken place in our school is that with running a Bible class like that through the day, it does give our students some variety. And so I'm coming into the school and 2 days a week, and they're spending time in my class. It does give the homeroom teacher, depending how the schedule's set up, it actually gives the homeroom teacher about a 30-minute free period. You talk about something that can prevent burnout. A 30-minute free period in the middle of the day for a struggling teacher is major. And so we've been able to do that. Well, I get to school in the morning, usually about 10 of 8. At 8 o'clock, we have staff meeting and staff prayer and devotions. And then from 8:30 to 8, this year, from 8:30 to 8:50, I'm usually in a classroom doing a room devotions. And that is also really appreciated by the teachers because it does give them a break for that morning in devotions. And so last year in my morning devotions, I went through the life of Abraham, and I'm using the Becca flashcards. Some of you may be familiar with them, like the big posters with the pictures that go with the Bible stories. And we invested money and bought the whole set for a couple $100, and I use those. I use those a lot in Bible class and also for my morning devotions, especially for the younger grades. So I rotate in the five classrooms that I have. I rotate in the five classrooms, and I, every 2.5 weeks, I'm in the classroom again for devotions. This year, I started with the life of Jacob, and we're going through the life of Jacob. And just last week, I started then with the life of Joseph. And so I'm going to finish up the year with the life of Joseph. But it does give me another opportunity to speak into the lives of the children. And I think that, and I'm amazed how little some children from our churches know about Bible stories. And some of them that do know about the stories only know the VeggieTale version. And so that can be really interesting also. And so sometimes you have to kind of correct some of those misconceptions of the stories. So I have room devotions at 8:50. I have 6th grade Bible class. At 8:20, I have 5th grade Bible class. And then, and these classes are all 30 minutes. At 10:30 to 11, I have 7th and 8th. At 11:30, I have 3rd grade. I have 1 hour off for lunch. At 1 o'clock, I have 4th grade. And then from 1:30 to 2, I'm doing a 5th and 6th grade study hall. And that teacher gets a break during that 5th and 6th grade study hall. And by that time of the day, she has given her assignments. She has explained the assignments, and the children just need time to do them. We have worked really hard at school to have a no homework policy for all 8 grades. And you talk about something that's going to give you some brownie points with parents. That will give you some brownie points with parents. When children come home and they have an hour of homework or 2 hours of homework, that usually does not sit well with parents. And so we have worked hard to have a no homework policy for all 8 grades in our school. And we base that on the average workload of the average student. Some of the slow ones are going to have homework. The ones that work faster are going to have time to do some reading and do some other things in the classroom in a structured kind of way. So we do have that. At 2 o'clock then I have a second grade Bible class from 2 to 2:30, and then that basically ends my day. On Thursday afternoon then we have staff meeting. We usually start that about 3:15. We set up, there's six of us full-time at school, and I'm there part-time. So we set up 2 8-foot tables beside each other, and in our staff meeting, they all bring their checking along the staff meeting, and we sit around, and we have a good time. And we take turns bringing snack along, and so by the time the staff meeting is over, a lot of them have done a lot of their checking. They've had some food, and they're ready to go for the evening and work there at school or go home. And most of them use our staff snack for their supper. So that has worked really well, and the teachers enjoy that. They appreciate it. And often in our staff meeting, I will have something. Sometimes I'll read part of a book. Sometimes we do DVDs, and I try to use that time to try to keep our teachers informed and try to grow our teachers through that. I believe a classroom is really important for teaching Bible because it gives you an atmosphere of learning versus a Sunday school. And if you think about the Sunday school, at least our Sunday schools at home, you know, our teachers often need substitutes. Our families often need to be away for a weekend and so on. And so you don't have the regular attendance. You don't have the regular teacher. You don't have the structure that you do in a classroom. In a classroom setting, so you have a learning atmosphere. We have resources, we have charts and maps, and we have an overhead, and we use PowerPoint sometimes. Sometimes I use DVDs. We have timelines and pictures, chalkboards, and so all of these resources we can bring into a classroom for Bible class that we can't use as well in a church setting. Let me go through a few of the activities that we do in our Bible class. With the younger students, I've used CLE light units in my Bible class, and I use these in a conventional setting. We're not individualized. I use these in a conventional setting, and I like them. By the way, Elmer, if you sell some Bible curriculum this week, you know, you might want to keep me in mind here on a little kickback, you know. But I do use these in our Bible classes. And in the CLE, especially in the older curriculum, the CLE curriculum, they want children to work through 10 of these in a school year. And with only having Bible class 2 days a week, we usually only cover like three of them or four of them sometimes, like one a quarter. And it depends a little what else I bring in. The second grade, the Sunrise edition of the second grade, I found to be really, really helpful. In their second grade material, in the student's book, every day they have on the one page a lesson, and then on the other page they have an activity. And that has really worked well. I just really, really like the second grade material, and I use that. I use that quite a lot. And there, and in the teacher's book, they give you all the material for all the light units for that grade. And so what I do is I go through that and I pick out, for instance, in the beginning of the year, I might go through the book and I would pick out a light unit that I want to do. And so I order the light unit that I need for that class, for that probably the first quarter. And so I order that, I go through that, and I kind of look how it works and so on and how the children are doing with it. And then when we get toward the end of the first quarter, I'll look through it again and I'll decide what other light unit I want to use, and I order that. And so I just kind of go through the material for that age level and pick out the light units that I want. With some of the light units that have worked really, really well for me, in fourth grade, there's a light unit with a study on angels, and that has really been interesting. And every day in Bible class, we go through a lesson on angels in the light unit, but we also have angel stories. And so every day, either the students or I would give share an angel story, a story where somebody either saw an angel or somebody was obviously helped by an angel. And I was able to find some angel stories even from the earthquake in Haiti, and we bring those into Bible class, and so that has been really, really interesting. And children come to class, and they're, you know, let's get our work done so we can have our angel story, you know. And so the angel story comes at the end after the work is done, usually, and I do that. I use DVDs in our Bible curriculum this year, and I'll probably be starting this in 2 weeks. I want to take four Bible classes. We will drop whatever else they had been studying. We'll take four Bible classes, and I'm going to use two DVDs for two of those. I have a set of DVDs from Ray Vanderlaan and his tours on Israel, and we'll look at those DVDs and look at the places where Jesus was on Palm Sunday, and also the places where Jesus would have been during his trial. And also the week before. And so I'll do that for two Bible classes. And then I also want to take two Bible classes and go through the Passion Week of Jesus and talk about what happened each day. You know, we have Sunday beginning with Palm Sunday and Jesus riding into the Jerusalem on the donkey and also cleansing the temple that day. And we look at that and we compare how that parallels the lamb that the children of Israel were to take also on Palm Sunday, and look at that and make some parallels there. And then I want to spend one Bible class on Jesus' trial and his crucifixion. And in the DVD series, they actually show a model of the city of Jerusalem as it was in the time of Jesus. And the model is fairly big. And so they can visualize these places and visualize where Jesus would have been. So that'll be an interesting thing. I had wanted to do that for several years already, but I think I'll be doing it this year. With seventh and eighth grade are together. One year with seventh and eighth grade, I go through this curriculum that Answers in Genesis puts out, covering the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And I believe this gives the children a very, very solid foundation for other Bible studies. And as part of this curriculum then, at the beginning of this curriculum, they introduced the students to a Bible study method called inductive Bible study. With inductive Bible study, you basically read a passage of Scripture, you put a title to it, you look at words and phrases that are often repeated And then you look at what those words and phrases mean, and the last step then is where you go into other passages of Scripture where those words and phrases are used, and you compare them, and you look at how that works. And it is a very, very solid, correct way of interpreting Scripture, but it is also a way that 7th and 8th graders can handle. They can get a hold of that, and they can do it. And so we spend some time teaching inductive Bible study. Along with that, they learn how to use the Strong's Concordance. They learn how to use Bible reference material, Bible dictionaries, and so on. And we bring all those into our class time. And I ended up going out and buying probably a dozen Strong's Concordances, you know. And so I pass them out, and they have to look up the words and find them in the Greek, find them in the Hebrew, and it's interesting. They enjoy it, and so we do that. The other year, then, with Bible, with 7th and 8th, I do a church history course. I start with the lives of the 12 disciples after the Pentecost, and then they get the martyr's mirror. And so I bought a dozen or more martyr's mirrors for my class. The children bring theirs from home, and I've seen 8th grade boys just sitting there sometimes for like 10 minutes looking at the martyr's mirror and going through and looking at the pictures. And they're saying, wow, you know, this big book was at home all these years. I never knew what was in it, you know. And so this has been a great way to introduce the children to concepts of church history. So we begin with the lives of the 12 disciples right after Pentecost, and then we end that year with the Reformation period, with the Anabaptist Reformation period in the 1500s, and we cover high points through the Dark Ages and the first 300 years. We talk about Constantine and some of the changes that came, and we talk about the Catholic Church and some of the errors that came into the Catholic Church during that time. There again, I have a DVD series by Walter Beachy on church history, and I use part of that in our class time, and he has an excellent session on different types of torture and execution that were used during the Reformation period, and I use that in our Bible class, and children can easily identify with and are interested in that kind of thing, and so I use that in the Bible class. And so that has been an interesting one of the really interesting things that I go through in that during that time is I also take a light unit. I use one light unit in that class. Use one light unit on Paul's missionary journeys, and we go through that. And then after we have completed the light unit, we go out to a place beside the church. There's, I don't know, maybe a quarter acre there of grass, just kind of an empty lot there. We go out there, and I take landscaping paint, and I paint on the ground a great big map. And also I use another color paint, and I paint a line showing where Paul went in his missionary journey, and we usually do the second missionary journey. How much time do I have here? When am I supposed to finish? 15 minutes? Okay. We go through that. And in Paul's second missionary journey, that was the time Silas went with him. We have the story of the Philippian jailer, and Paul was stuck in jail, and so on. You know the story. And so this is big. This is a big map. And the children, it's like quarter acre, and I, you know, use the whole thing. I put on the islands of Crete and Cyprus, and then we put stakes in for the different cities and label everything, you know. And so they go out there, and they can easily visualize where these cities were in relation to the islands and the continents and the country of Greece and so on. And then I get them to act out different things that took place on that missionary journey. And of course, one of the big things is Paul and Silas being put in the jail and singing praises and being able to be released the next morning or that night and so on. And so the children split up into small groups, and they act out different things that took place. And then the rest of the school will walk on this line where Paul traveled on his missionary journeys. And as they get to the different cities, then the children act out what took place. And, of course, I'm like the tour guide, you know, and we all dress up like Bible guys, you know, and we just have a lot of fun with this. And it's kind of interesting because when we actually go to do part of the final test of that light unit is a map where you have to fill in all the cities, and they usually don't get any wrong on that one. They usually don't get any wrong because they've been out there, they've practiced, they've practiced their parts for several Bible classes, and then they've done it for the whole school, and sometimes parents go through that, and it's been really, really an excellent kind of teaching tool. So, you know, it's kind of hard to duplicate that at Sunday school, isn't it? You know, it's kind of hard to do that. So we have access to resources. One of the really interesting things that has taken place this year in sixth grade Bible class, 12-year-olds, sixth grade. So we had a light unit, and I decided I'll do a light unit on Hebrews through Jude. And so we looked at the books, Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Jude. And we went through that, and we looked at, and it was a survey kind of material. And so you just, you know, sometimes we would just spend like one Bible class on a book. And so you just hit the highlights. Well, we got to the end of the light unit, and sixth grade, there's eight in the class, five or six energetic boys, and we get to the end of Jude, and the boys are saying, are we going to study Revelation? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I never taught Revelation to sixth graders. And they're saying, we'd like to study Revelation. And some of them have been reading the Left Behind series, you know, and they're kind of into this thing. And some of them have some DVDs at home, and they watch that on maybe the Left Behind series or something. And they looked at that, and I said, well, I don't know. Let me think about it. And so about a week later, I said, all right, we'll give it a try. We'll see what happens, you know. And I never did this before, you know. And yet these boys really wanted to. Well, one of the really interesting things is that in that grade, in sixth grade, there's a boy in that room named Josiah. He loves to draw, and he's good. He's fairly good at drawing. He loves to draw. He's the kind of guy that if he has to stay in for recess for whatever reason, he loves that. He would rather stay in from recess and draw than go out and play. And so if you want to punish him, make him run around the church a couple times. That's what has to be done for him, you know. And so he's all into this. He's just all into this Bible class on the book of Revelation. And he said, hey, you know what? He said, if we have this Bible class, he said, I want to draw those animals that are described in the book of Revelation. That's what he wanted to do. And so he has been drawing those kind of things. And actually, we had asked him not to. We said, you should not draw those. You know, war pictures, and especially medieval-type warfare, swords and shields and horses. He was all into drawing this stuff, you know. And he would just do that day after day if you would let him. And we felt that he was filling his mind with the wrong kind of thing. So we told him he shouldn't do that. Well, he said, he's into drawing this stuff in the book of Revelation. And I said, all right, okay, you draw us some pictures. We'll see what we can do. And I said, now you need to also draw some other pictures too. I said, don't just draw the fierce animals that we read of in the book of Revelation. So we started the Bible class, and of course we have John on the island of Patmos. And so he came up with this picture of John on the Isle of Patmos. And I should have probably just made an overhead of this and put it on so you can all see it. But he drew this picture of John on the Isle of Patmos and all the wild animals around him, water all around, you know. And he did I think he did a fairly good job on that. And then he drew a picture of Jesus as it's described in the book of Revelation, as Jesus appeared to John there in the island. And And if you read through that, you will see that he was very accurate in his drawing. The eyes with an ape, flame of fire and sword in his mouth and so on. And so he did that. Here's another picture he did of the elders around the throne and picture in heaven. He drew this. And so the reason I'm bringing this in is that this boy also struggled in his home room with discipline. And the teacher, of course, you know, you're limited for what you can do to punish a guy like this if you can't keep him in from recess. And so, you know, she was struggling with it. In the Bible classes, he was able to connect in the Bible classes because he was able to draw and he was really into this Bible class. And so when they come to class, he always has comments, he always has questions, he always has something to talk about in Bible class. And I think, you know, all of us are wired in such a way that we get along with some people better than others. And he struggled with his homeroom teacher, but in Bible class I was able to connect with him. And I believe that this is part of the role of a Bible teacher. And in our school, some of the students have as many as four different teachers in a week, because the teachers share some classes, they take classes for each other, and we have Bible class, secretary takes some classes, and so on. And so I see that as just being a tremendously positive thing in a school. And you know, here I am, I'm 53 years old. I got into this 4 years ago, almost like walking off the street, and I love it. It's great. I just, you know, I enjoy being there at school. And to me, it was just tremendous to be able to get into something like this at my age, when I could still, like, learn a new trade and get into this and be able to use my, like, 2 days a week for Bible class. And I would guess that there are other men in our communities that would also like something like that. And, you know, you have a small school and you don't have the resources to hire another staff to bring in to teach your Bible classes. Think about bringing somebody in and that has, you know, they're not tied to a payroll. They're able to get away. And men that would just love to do something like this. And you know, I mean, I've been in this 4 years. I in my mind, I'm thinking about this as a 10-year commitment. And I like to do it. I enjoy it, and I find it to be fulfilling. And I'm just, sometimes I just thank God for the privilege of being able to come to school and do that, teach Bible classes. And I'm not, you know, sometimes when I do study halls, they have questions about their math, and they have questions about history and science and so on. I said, I don't know. I said, you ask your someone else. I don't know. I don't know those subjects. But I've concentrated on Bible, and I've been able to, at least from what I hear and so on, I've been able to connect with the children in that way. I know all the students at school because they all come to my classroom except first grade, and there I'm in the room for 20 minutes every 5 mornings that I'm at school. So I know all the students, I know all the families, and I'm also administrator, I know the teachers, and so it has given me a real advantage to be there like that. The other thing is that it's interesting to be able to be administrator and not be there every day. Now, I know in some ways you feel a little disconnected sometimes, but you can bring a perspective to school that you don't have when you're there every day and you're a homeroom teacher and you're in the thick of things, especially when things start, like, not going as well. And you can bring a perspective to school, and so that has been interesting. We have another fellow that's teaching the 7th and 8th grade. He works as assistant administrator, and he works with the teachers a little more on a daily level, and sometimes after school they'll talk with him about issues that come up. And so I don't get involved in that quite as much as some administrators would, but he takes care of that. He does well with that. And so he covers there. So this boy comes to school. Josiah comes to my Bible classes. I've been able to connect with him. We chat after school. We talk about things. Sometimes I meet with him through the day. We talk about, you know, how's school going and how do you like it and you know, what's going on. And so he has brought these pictures. Here's one that he did on, I think this might be found in Revelation, maybe chapter 12 or 13. And he spent a lot of time on this one. This is that scorpion that stings people. It talks about it in Revelation. It stings people, and it hurts so much that people wish they could die, but they can't. This is part of the, well, I won't get into my interpretation of Revelation, whatever. But it's part of what takes place during the tribulation period, you know. And so here's the serpent with the seven heads, and here's the tiger with the seven heads or ten heads. I think this is found in Revelation chapter 15. Here's the lamb with horns. This is the last one he did. Here's the lamb with horns found in Revelation about 18. And so he has done these pictures, and he's come to Bible class, and we've been able to do well in that way. And I don't think it's abnormal. I don't think it's abnormal for a teacher sometimes to struggle with certain students, and there's personalities and so on that factor in there, and they struggle with different students. And so by bringing in different teachers and bringing in men that have, and really, you don't need to be a gifted teacher to be able to come and do what I did. If you love the Word of God, you love the Lord, you love children, and you enjoy interacting with them, and if you would come to my Bible classes, you would probably say, I do a lot of things wrong as a teacher. But we enjoy it. We have a good time together, and I think the children are able to connect in that way. Here's a statement I'd like to let with you. It says, for our children to spend 6.5 hours a day in a Christian school without a systematic graded Bible study is a missed opportunity. Thank you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.